Thank you, Stephen, for leading us in our singing tonight. I can tell you as a preacher, and I'm sure that John would back this up, whenever you have singing like that, it makes it easy to get up here and preach. It makes it exciting to be here and appreciate the fine job that Stephen's doing in leading this congregation in their worship. I want to begin simply by saying thank you to the Flatwoods congregation. This congregation has meant so much in our life. More, as I've said before, than most of you will ever know. But we have thoroughly enjoyed this week, enjoyed getting to see so many of you and visit with many of you. Would have liked to have visited even more. Time just won't permit, will only permit so much. But just want to say thank you for the privilege of being here, especially to those who have opened their homes and showed us such hospitality over these last few days. We have been talking all this week about the heart and trying to understand that what makes us a Christian is not just our outward actions, but what makes us a Christian is what is in our heart. Because it's what is in our heart that will flow out of us. And whenever we try to be people that look more like Jesus Christ, where we need to begin that process is in our heart. Trying to change our hearts to look more like Jesus. We began on Sunday morning by talking about the fact that we need to be people who approach the Lord, as Paul's talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, with our heart wide open. That means not holding anything back. Not being tied to this affection or to this friend or to this group or to this thing. That we need to be people that will follow the Lord wherever it is that He takes us. That will surrender our will to Him when it's the easy thing for us to do, but we will surrender our will even when it's the hard thing for us to do. On Sunday night, we talked about where your heart really is. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Until we give our pocketbook to the Lord, our heart will never belong to the Lord. We talked about anger and what anger can do to our hearts and what anger can do to the lives of other people. And how instead of being people that wear their emotions on their sleeve, we are to be people that are humble, people that are quiet, people that are quick to hear, that are slow to speak. Last night we talked about pride and how pride can cause us to think too much of ourselves and too little of others, and how it can ultimately lead us to choose our own will even over the will of God Himself. But tonight, what I want us to talk about is what's molding our heart. I want us to speak about what is developing so many of our concept of what is right and what is wrong, or just what is normal. Have you ever seen a child, I mean a small child, who you'll be doing something or going through your daily routine, and out of their mouth will come a curse word? Anybody ever heard that? Most of you probably have. It's a shocking thing, but it happens, doesn't it? I mean, if you spend much time in the school system or things of that nature, it just happens. Why does that happen? Well, whenever that happens, there's one thing that you know. They heard that somewhere. Before that came out of their mouth, it went into their ear. Unfortunately, a lot of those things sometimes come from parents. Sometimes they just come from picking things up. Whatever comes out of our mouth has first went into our soul. Whatever actions come forth from us, we first learn those things. And that's why I want us to talk this evening about our entertainment choices. I want us to think about what we're feeding ourselves. What sort of movies do you watch? television programs do you watch? Maybe a better question is, what television programs do you not watch? What goes on over your internet connection at home? What sort of songs did you listen to on the radio even as you drove your car to church tonight? You see, as we talk about entertainment, entertainment is something that feels good, right? It's something that is enjoyable. That's why we call it entertainment. That's why we're drawn to it. That's why I like to go to the movies. That's why I like to sit down and watch TV. That's why I like to surf the internet. That's why I like to listen to my radio. Because it's enjoyable. But because of the nature of entertainment, many times we find ourselves enjoying immoral things. Because the reality is that immoral things are pleasurable. Immoral things are enjoyable, are they not? Sin is fun. And many people will spend hours trying to deny that, but you're never going to deny that. If sin wasn't fun, if sin didn't bring us pleasure, then we wouldn't struggle with it, would we? We wouldn't have this thing called temptation. We're tempted to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin because they are just that. They are pleasurable. Well, this is the fact that not only we understand, but it's also a fact that the devil understands. And it only makes sense that when the devil, who is seeking to devour us, who's seeking to snatch your soul away from the Lord, it only makes sense that he would use these immoral things to turn us. And he would sell them in the name of entertainment. And these are avenues of entertainment that are presented before us every day. I know that there may be some exceptions to this, but I imagine that most of you in the last 24 hours have watched some television. You've listened to your radio. Many of you have been on the internet. And you know, in all of those forms of media and entertainment, there are some good things, are there not? There are some decent, some wholesome things. Sometimes there are even some godly things. But there are also some very immoral things, ungodly things, and sinful things that walk hand in hand. If you turned on your TV, whatever you watched, I know that you were only a push of a button away from something that would have hurt your heart. You were only a keystroke away on the internet from something that would damage your soul. You were only a turn of the knob away from an idea being sung about that would change your perception of what is right and what is normal in a very bad way. And because of this, we have to make some choices. You have to make some choices about the standards that you have for the things that you allow to enter into your mind, for the things that you will allow to enter into your soul. Because unfortunately, we struggle not with the idea that we want sin in our life, but when sin is packaged as entertainment for some reason, we lose our mind. And we justify it. And we think, well, this isn't going to influence me, or this isn't going to be as bad as that actual sin is because it's entertainment. Movies, television shows, music, all of these avenues of entertainment contain foul language, inappropriate sexuality, graphic violence, the acceptance of immoral activities, and on and on. You know this, okay? I don't want to belabor this point too much. You know what sort of trash is out there. And I would imagine that most of us know the temptation to enjoy those things. To enjoy those things even in the privacy of our home where nobody has to know about it. But unfortunately, God knows about it. And your soul and your heart knows about it. In Job 31:31, Job was speaking of his relationship with God, and he cried out these words. He said, "I have made a covenant with my eyes." What was he saying? Job said, "I have come to an agreement. I have drawn a line in the sand. I have made a decision about my eyes. That there are certain things that I'm not going to look at. There are certain things that I'm not going to allow myself to look at. Because I know what that would do to my heart." And we have such a need in the world, but brethren, we have this need in the church to make some covenants, to make some agreements with our eyes and with our ears about the things that we're going to look at, about the things that we're going to listen to, about the things that we are going to allow ourselves to be pleasured by in this world. I see these young people up here on the front row, and I know how vulnerable they are to these things. How they're surrounded by a world of media. How they're surrounded by a world of entertainment. So many of our struggles in the world, and even in the church, come from people that are overloaded with the idea of entertainment. But I also know it's not just these young people. It's not just these young people who struggle with these things. I have sat in the homes of preachers, of elders, of Bible class teachers, of people that anyone who knew them would say this is a godly man or a godly woman. And I've seen things on their television that were anything but godly. I've been in people's homes, and my wife says I'm a little bit nosy. I don't mean to be nosy. But I've seen the reaction that comes so many times when you go over to peruse the DVD section to see what movies does this person have. Sometimes it's disturbing. We need to make some covenants. Some covenants with our eyes and some covenants with our ears about the things that we're going to watch and the things that we're going to listen to. Because, brethren, we are the bride of Christ. We are to be pure. We are to be holy. We are to be different from the world. But entertainment causes us to become more like the world all too often. David said in Psalm 101, verses 3 and 4, basically the same thing that Job said when he said, "For I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. And it shall not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me, and I will know no evil." The key, one of the keys to having a pure heart, is not allowing those things to come into our life. You want to have a clean house? Well, you don't let people come in and put their garbage in your living room, do you? Well, if you want to have a pure heart, then you've got to make some laws. You've got to make some decisions about what you're going to allow to be set before you in your heart and in your soul. We talk to our children, and you remember this, garbage in, garbage out. We understand what that means, don't we? If someone curses, if someone does something lewd, if someone has perverse ideas, those things didn't just appear in a man's mind. They came from somewhere. We need to be very careful. Very careful that as we think about what we call entertainment, that we don't fool ourselves. And we don't fool ourselves. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 5, in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, he said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And the entertainment industry is a master at this. The entertainment industry is a master at convincing Christian people that the most ungodly of activities are just normal. Or even worse than that, that the most ungodly of activities are even a good thing. Think about the television shows that you like to watch, the movies that you enjoy, and ask yourself, is it adultery or is it romance? You think about the last romantic movie you watched, and ask yourself about what was really happening there. You know, there's a country song that's out right now. I think it's still pretty popular, by Sugar Land. I don't know if you like country music or not, but I like country music. And there was this song, and I noticed a few weeks ago, it was the number one song in the whole country. And it was a very pretty song, and it was romantic in a way. But when it got up to number one, I actually listened to what it was saying. This romance song. And what was being sung about was a woman who was singing to a man to not go back to his wife. That's what was being sung about. That was the number one land in the whole country. It was all about an adulterous relationship. Country music doesn't have the market cornered on that. I was at a fair here a few years ago, and there was a song. I don't know if this is the right group or not, but I think it was by a group called Nickelback. Pretty catchy song. But I went to the fair, and there was this band up on stage, and they were playing this song. And I looked up in the audience, and there were several women who were singing along to this song. And I just sat around there, and I just listened to what they were saying. And this song, which was a huge hit, was built around the premise of a man that was getting a phone call from his adulterous relationship. And he couldn't talk right now because his wife was in the other room. These are not on the fringes of our society. These are the things in the mainstream of our society. When we see romance, how often is it, what it actually is adultery or an illegitimate relationship? Or we'll be taught by the movies to think that a man ought to leave his husband, or that a man ought to leave his wife and his family for his true love. That's not romance. That's sin. Or is it crude language, or is it realistic? We will have some of the most awful stuff come into our ears, and you'll say something to someone about it, oh, well, that's just realistic. If it didn't have all that cursing, then it wouldn't be realistic, so it's okay for me to hear it. I don't care if it's real or not. There are some real things that are sinful in this world that I don't need in my mind, that I don't need in my heart, that damage me, that cause me to be as perverse as this world if I allow them into my heart. Is it an alternative lifestyle? Or is it an abomination? You see, what the world, what Hollywood, what the entertainment industry wants to do to us is to convince us that all of these immoral things, they're just normal. That's just how people are. They're not normal. They're not normal. And if they are, then I don't want to be normal. Because I'm a child of God. But if I watch that enough, if I sing songs enough about people that are committing adultery, if I listen to people that are cursing every third word out of their mouth, if I get so close and so used to people that are living as a man and a man, or a woman and a woman in a sexual relationship, you know what happens? That changes the way that I see the world. Remember on Sunday morning we talked about keeping our distance? Paul warned those who had too close of affections with this world. He warned them that the believer and the unbeliever, Christ and Baal, they don't have anything in common. But when we get too close, it damages our perspective. So we need to be careful that we don't fool ourselves. We need to avoid these things. We need to draw some lines in the sand for the protection of our heart and our soul about what we will or will not watch. In the first place, we must do this so that we don't approve of immorality. In Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32, Paul gives a laundry list of sinful activity. And he begins by saying that being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips. He continues in verse 32, and although they knew the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. What is he saying there? Of those who God has given up to that reprobate heart, it is not just the people who are committing the sins, but he says you're just as guilty when you're showing approval of those things. And we say, well, I don't approve of those things. I don't approve of those songs, or I didn't approve of that joke that they told. I didn't approve of that scene that I watched. When we are getting pleasure from those things, what exactly are we doing? If we were to ask someone, do you think that I had a problem with that? When I sat there just like everybody else did, not once, not twice, but every time that song came on the radio, every time that television show came on, every time there was a movie with that theme in it, what is the world supposed to think? What is God supposed to think? That those things disgust us? That those things disturb us? No, they're going to think that we approve of those things, whether we want to think that we are or not. We must be careful that we don't show approval of immorality. Because the more that we expose ourselves to it, the more desensitized we become to sin. The prophet Jeremiah spoke of the people's sinfulness in Jeremiah chapter 8, and he said that one of their problems was this. He said that they were ashamed because, or he asked the question, were they ashamed because of the abomination they had done? They certainly were not ashamed, and they did not know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time of their punishment they shall be brought down, declares the Lord. I fear that all too often we have forgotten how to blush. We've forgotten how to blush. Because the devil has sold us a lie that to be a mature adult means that those things don't bother us, that those things don't embarrass us, that those things don't make us uncomfortable. Sin ought to make us uncomfortable. You know, if we go to the movie theater and we see a naked woman walking across the movie screen, that ought to make us blush. When we hear people using foul language and describing all sorts of immoral activities, that ought to make us uncomfortable. We ought to not want to be there. I can remember when I was, I don't know if I was a teenager or what, but I can remember going to my grandmother's house. And when I rented a movie, and it wasn't by even today's standards a very bad movie, but I remember her telling me that she wouldn't have trash like that in her house. And I remember thinking, what trash? What was wrong with that? Well, in retrospect, I know what she was talking about, but what had happened? I didn't see anything wrong with it because that's just what everybody watched. How much have our standards changed about what we deem as acceptable, about what we deem as normal? It was not that long ago. I believe it was, well, I think I had this right. It was when I was starting college that there was a television show called The Ellen Show. This isn't the talk show. This was the sitcom. that it came out and it was rumored that her character was a homosexual. You remember this? You remember what happened to that show? I mean, this was scandalous. That show got canceled because you can't put something like that on television. 1996. Today is 1998. We are 12 years removed from that happening. And now some of the most popular shows on the networks, what are they about? They have homosexuals as their star characters. I read about a show on MTV, which parents, if you have MTV in your house, I hope that you block that. Young people, you don't need to watch that because there's so much trash on it. About a show of an individual who was trying to make up her mind about whether she was going to like boys or girls. You guys know what show I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And she went on these dates with, I don't know the numbers, like 25 men and 25 girls, and at the end she was going to make up her mind. That's where we are today. Folks, that's what's coming into our homes. Have we been desensitized? Have we come a long ways? We've come a long ways, but in the wrong direction. People's hearts and people's souls have been damaged. And they've been sold a bill of goods where we see things like that and we just kind of laugh. Isn't that funny? It's not funny. It's sick. It's an abomination. But yet the more we see it, the more accepting we become of it. It desensitizes us to sin. And brethren, it pollutes our hearts. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. That's really our theme for the week, is it not? Watch over your heart. Take some steps to protect your heart, because the devil wants to pollute it. He wants to throw all sorts of nasty toxins into it. And those things are going to come out in your mind. Those things are going to come out in your life and in the way that you see the world. They're going to affect who you are. They're going to affect your family. They're going to affect your wife. They're going to affect your husband. They're going to affect your children. They're going to affect your God and your relationship with Him. For blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Sometimes we talk about we don't want to shelter our children. I think to the extent that sometimes we have taken an approach that the more bad things they see, the better off they are. And that's a lie. I want my children to be naive about some things. There are some things that I wish that I was more naive about. There are some images in my mind that I wish were not there. But you know what? Once they get in there, they're there. And I've got to deal with those things. The pure in heart, they are the ones that shall see God. It comes into our ears. It comes into our eyes. And then it's in our heart. And before you know it, it comes out our mouth. You ever thought a curse word? I hope that you don't curse. But have you ever thought a curse word? You don't have to answer that just for yourself. I have. I remember when I was in high school, I was spending some time with one of the athletic teams that I was on, and they didn't have the best mouths in the world. Some pretty foul language. And I can remember one day I was walking along and something happened, and in my mind I thought, blank. It scared me to death. And I thought, where did that come from? I don't talk like that. Man, I'm a Christian. Where'd it come from? Well, it came from those things coming into my ears from my friends and from the movies I was watching and the music we were listening to that was filled with it. And you know what happened? As scared as that made me, we go down the road a few months and something happens and it didn't just come in my mind, it came out my mouth. Why? Because that's how it works. When we constantly expose ourselves to those things, without taking some measures to protect ourselves, it will work its way into our life. Oh, well, it doesn't affect me. You ever heard someone say that? Oh, I can watch those things and it doesn't affect me. Well, you're buying a lie. You're deceiving yourself. There are corporations who spend millions and billions of dollars on advertising who believe it does affect you. Who are selling you your favorite soda and selling you your favorite pizza and your favorite kind of soap and your favorite kind of toilet paper. And you've got ideas in your mind about what's the best because it's been drilled into you. That's how we work. They know it. It's time that we realize that and start protecting ourselves. We must avoid immoral entertainment because we must never show approval of immorality, because it can desensitize us to sin and because it pollutes our hearts. So how do we do it? Well, the Bible doesn't give us a hard and fast rule besides telling us to flee immorality, to run away from it. But I want to be a little bit more practical tonight in some things that my wife and I have established as rules for our house. I haven't always had a good grasp on these things. I've struggled with these things. Steve, I'm not anywhere near done. But these things have helped. And I'm telling you that as you change your habits over time, it will change your heart. A few suggestions for maintaining our purity. Don't go or rent R-rated movies. Well, everybody watches that. You ever go to an R-rated movie? Young people, you ever go to an R-rated movie? Adults, you ever go to an R-rated movie? I mean, it's the big blockbuster. It's number one at the box office. It looks great. You know, when a movie is rated R, that means that it's restricted. That means that there is this body out there who has said that nobody under the age of 17 ought to be allowed to see this. I don't know about your movie theater, but most movie theaters, they're not too strict about that. But have you ever thought about who it is that says nobody under the age of 17 ought to see this movie? You think it's real godly people that set those limits? You know, like we could have somebody like Greg Hall or John Brown or JC, and they, is it people like that that say nobody under the age of 17 ought to see these? It's Hollywood who puts those ratings on there. It is the world who puts those ratings on there. Brother, who rules this world? The devil. It's almost as if the devil himself were saying, this one is really bad. It's the world that's saying, this one is really inappropriate. But yet we still go. We still pay our $8 and pay $10 for popcorn for those things. Don't do it. Because there are things contained within those movies that will damage your soul. I'll just tell you that this is non-negotiable with me in my life. There are certain movies that have come along that I've thought might be an exception to that, but I haven't. Because I can tell you how my mind works. When I make one exception, I tend to make a second exception. And I tend to justify things, especially if it's something that I really want to see. I used to think all of these R-rated movies, that was all the good ones. Those were the popular ones. I can tell you that after years of abstaining from those things, it's changed my view. It's changed the way I feel about those things. It disgusts me that they make some of the trash that they make. That's where our heart needs to be. Use extreme caution. When a movie says PG-13, look at the box. Why does it say that? And if it says anything about sexual content on a PG-13 movie, it doesn't come to our house. Because there's nasty stuff on there. You've got to set these limits for yourself. If you're watching a television show And at the very beginning of it, it gives a warning that there is adult content contained within this television show. Turn the channel. Don't watch it. Well, but what if it's my favorite show? That ever happened on your favorite show? I'm telling you, that doesn't just happen. It used to happen once in a blue moon where it said adult content. That happens almost every night now. Turn the channel. And if it keeps happening, there might be a reason for that not to be your favorite show anymore. Are you willing to give up your favorite television show or going to see a certain movie in order to be pleasing to God? That's a good question. If you're listening to the radio and the song and the words to a song are about going down to the bar and getting drunk, if they're about cheating on your spouse, if they're about immoral sexuality, change the radio station. That goes across the board. Whether you're talking about rock music or R&B or country music or rap music, there's so much sexuality on the radio. I mean, I know they use a lot of euphemisms, but there's some nasty stuff if you just listen to it. Not on the fringes, but mainstream. And you know it. I heard someone saying the other day, they were talking about the current culture of our entertainment world. And they said, they made a point I thought was pretty good. He said, the things that people are singing about, they're not just immoral. They're things that if you actually did, you'd go to jail in our society. But yet we sing about those things. We celebrate those things. We act like that's the cool thing. You've got to set some limits. When you're all alone in your car, nobody knows what you're listening to. You're the one who's got to reach down and change the station. Establish some internet accountability. We got a problem in this country with the internet. Men especially have a problem in this country with the internet. Pornography is taking over. It's everywhere. And you don't even have to be looking for it. It'll come to you. It'll come into your email account. It'll pop up on your screen. It'll come up on a Google search, and you'll be somewhere you never intended to be. Establish some internet accountability. I can tell you at the church that I just came from, one of the things that we had was once a month, there was a printout of every website that was visited at each computer terminal that went to one of the elders. And you may think overkill or whatever about that, but I can tell you one thing, it got rid of temptation in my mind. It got rid of temptation in a hurry in my mind because I knew that there was a list of everything that I looked at that somebody else was going to look at. Availability and accountability. We've got to get rid of that. Create accountability. Get rid of the availability. Non-negotiable rules in my mind. You may have others. You may have different feelings about these. These aren't Bible. These are Wes. But I believe that these are ideas that are based on biblical ideas. Use technology to help you. You know, most cable systems have locks and limits. You can block out certain channels. I already said it before, but if you've got MTV coming into your house, if you've got, I don't even know what the channels are. We have all these religious channels. That's about all we have, and we don't watch those. But if you have these networks that are just full of filth, block them. You can do something about that. Block them and put the code in there and give the code to your wife. Install filters on your internet connection. That accountability. You know, they make a TV guardian. It's been a great thing for our family. There are some movies that we wouldn't be able to watch that we have a little thing that filters out all the curse words and puts in another word or just causes a blank spot in your movie. That makes some entertainment much more wholesome. I don't need to hear those things. My children don't need to hear those things. I can tell you one thing that's taught me is how much cursing there is. We put in movies before, and boy, when they took out all the curse words, it was almost like we were watching a silent movie. But I never noticed it before. It'll change the way that you see things. Screen It. I think ScreenIt.com is a pay site now, but there are other sites like that. Where you can go if you want to watch a movie, Go and punch in, and they'll tell you what's in that movie. What might be objectionable things? It'll change the way you think, because it's one thing to see those things, but it's another to see them in print. This word spelled out is used so many times. There is a scene where this lady does this. When you see it in print, I'm telling you, it makes you think twice about what you watch. So use technology to help you in this battle. I want to close by talking about some obstacles. You know, this is going to be pretty hard to implement. If we've been used to just watching and listening to anything that we want because that's what everybody else listens to, it's going to be pretty hard to implement. So what are some obstacles to overcome? Parents. I've talked to a lot of teenagers about this subject, and probably the number one thing that I've heard people raise, this is really sad, but the number one obstacle people face are their parents. Because their parents watch these things. Their parents listen to these things. Their parents aren't as holy as they want to be. Parents, don't be that. Don't be that obstacle. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, when Joshua gave that great speech about choosing whom they would serve, one of the things that they said, one of their choices were the gods which your father served. These may be choices that make us stand out even in our own family. That's a reality for a lot of people. Well, their family may be watching something inappropriate and they have to say, I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to listen to it. I'm going to leave the room. You'll make a statement. At the very least, you might make them think, maybe shame them. But don't give in to that pressure. Friends can be a real battle in this. I mean, you go out with a group of people and you're going to the movies and everybody says, well, we're going to see this movie. And you look up and that movie's rated R. Well, everybody's going. And I don't want to make them look bad by saying I don't watch movies like that. And it's an awkward situation. But do not follow a multitude in doing evil. If our friends are an obstacle to this, maybe they're not our friends after all. Maybe we need some new friends. Maybe we need to teach our friends. Maybe we need to be that light that shines in the darkness for them. It's not easy, but your heart's on the line. Your soul's on the line. Who you are, how you think is on the line. But let me tell you, the number one obstacle that I've found in my own personal Christian walk of trying to be selective about entertainment is other Christians. Other Christians. Here's what I mean by that. We have some standards. Well, I've talked to you about a few of those standards that we have personally set for our family. And I'm not dogmatic about any of those things. I know that those are my choices. But Wes, don't you think you're being a little extreme? Don't you think you're going a little bit overboard? And they try to make me feel bad because I don't want to watch what they want to watch, or I don't want to listen to what they want to listen to. That's a problem. Now, whether or not you agree with the things that we've talked about, you may think that you're immune. You may think that you can enjoy those things and it not affect you. And that'll be your choice. But do not become a stumbling block for your brother or sister in Christ who's trying to live a more godly life. Don't do that. Side note. Fathers, husbands, you listen especially to me tonight. This burden is on you. You are the spiritual leader of your home. This is something that you need to take the lead in. I'll share a humbling experience with you, courtesy of my wife. My wife's helped me grow in a lot of ways. Some ways I wanted to, some ways I didn't. But I can remember several years ago, we were watching TV. And one of my favorite television shows came on. And when that television show came on, it said, warning, adult content. Viewer discretion advised. Well, I knew good and well that that meant some sexual content in this. But this was my favorite television show. I wanted to watch it. And so I saw that, but I tried to act like I didn't see that. I didn't see that I was doing something or fiddling with something, and the show started. And it began with a bang. And there were some things on the screen that were very inappropriate, and I tried to act like I didn't see that. This will be over soon. And we're both sitting there very uncomfortable. On and on, it continues. And then finally, my wife says, "Don't you think we ought to turn the channel?" Yeah, I guess so. Didn't really want to turn the channel. I wanted to watch the show because it was my favorite show. And as she got up, she has a way about her. She thanked me for being the spiritual leader of our family. I felt about that big. But she made her point. She shouldn't have had to tell me to change the channel. She shouldn't have had to be being the spiritual leader in our family. That's my place. Dads, you're responsible for what comes into your house. You're responsible for the movies that you go and see and what your children go and see. You're responsible. I know that people will do what they're going to do. Children will do what they're going to do. But you need to do what you have to do. Because you're responsible. Be a leader in your home. Set some standards of godliness in your home. Because God has placed you in that position. And He has given you that responsibility and that privilege. You see, the key to all of this is not just coming up with a list of appropriate and inappropriate material. Sometimes when we talk about entertainment, it's easy for us to come up with, well, there are all these things that I can't do. But that's not really what this is about. What this is about is us being more like Jesus. It's about us looking more like Christ. Not only in the things that we do, but even in the way that we think. You see, that's what it means to be Christ-like. Not just doing the things that Christ did, but even thinking the things that He thought. Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me." I've got to learn. I've got to strive to have the very mind of Christ. And that means that I have to learn to love the things that Christ loves and hate the things that Christ hates. That's really the key. And if I have that mind, when I see these things, they're going to disgust me. I'm not going to get the pleasure from them. I'm not going to get the entertainment from them that maybe I once would have. I'm going to see things, and when I see a man and a woman who aren't married going into a hotel room on my television, I'm not going to think nothing about it. I'm going to think, well, there's illicit sexual immoral activity. When I hear people cursing, it's going to burn in my ears. It's going to disturb me because it disturbs Jesus Christ. What's in your heart? Is the mind of Christ in your heart? That's what this is all about. I don't know what this calls for in your life. It may call for very little change. It may call for a lot of change. One of the hardest things I ever did was I took a whole bag full of DVDs and actually, I guess back then it were VHS tapes out to the curb because they weren't fit for me or anybody else. But I did that because I didn't want to pollute my heart. Maybe you need to set some limits. Maybe we need to stop watching things or listening to things. Maybe we ought to start loving things the way that Christ loves things. Whatever it calls for, protect your heart. Protect your heart because, brethren, from it flow the springs of life. From it flow who you really are and who you'll really be. So watch over your heart with all diligence. If you have a need tonight to humble yourself before the Lord, if you have a need tonight to make your heart look more like the heart of Jesus Christ, then come. If that means coming in repentance and baptism, then come. If that means repenting of sin, then come and do that. But may we leave here tonight looking like Jesus so that the world will see Jesus. That's what I want them to see. I want people to see Christ in me. But they'll only do that if I look like Christ. So look in the mirror tonight and answer for yourself, what do you look like? Do you look like Jesus? Not just your hands and your feet, but does your heart look like Jesus? And if not, take the steps to change and to embrace His love and to embrace His goodness. If you have that need tonight, we pray for you that you come as we stand and as we sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam. From the throne of life now it flows. While the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for